and Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim on their telecast, and it's something they do in real time. In other words, it's something they did that same day or the day before, you know, and it just caught my attention. And they were speaking on the supernatural move of God. I pricked my ears up immediately, you know, because I need to listen to this. And Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim. Billy Brim, for those who don't know, I'm sure many of Muslim's generation won't know her. You know, Pastor G, it's a disaster. She used to be the secretary to Kenneth Hagin. She edited most of Kenneth Hagin. She would transcribe, you know. And she now has an intercessory ministry. A wonderful woman of God. And she was talking, and this is what just got my attention, you know, about this move of God that I've also been talking about in recent times, about the manifestation of the supernatural. They didn't use the expressions we use. The faith guys don't use these expressions of Feast of Tabernacles. They don't. It's not in their vocabulary. Praise the Lord. But they were saying the same thing. You know how we're expecting. She went to bring out some of the old prophecies that Kenneth Hagin prophesied about in the 1970s and in the, you know, 60s and the 70s, and she was making reference to them. And it's those same prophecies, many of them, that inspired me as a young Christian and gave me direction, you know. And she particularly said that, you know, we're going to see the power of God in manifestation as has never been seen before. The glory of the latter house will be greater than that of the former. The former house is what happened in the Acts of the Apostles, and the latter house is what's happening in the end time. And if you look at Azusa Street Revival, which happened in 1901, 1906, you combine that with what happened in the Acts of the Apostles, and then you amplify the whole thing, which is what we've been talking about, you know, the release of the power of the Spirit without measure. And I was really, you know, the Bible says that in the multiple authorities, let everywhere be established. You know, because they were saying, look, the thing is imminent, is now. And I said, you can say that again. Praise the Lord. Those who are... And then she said something that hit me. And I actually said this in my New Year message, you know, tangentially. She said, this is 2017. You know, Kenneth Copeland Ministry started in 1967. It's exactly 50 years. In fact, they're celebrating 50 years this year. You know, and she was saying, she and Gloria, you know, they got born again by that same time. This is the time of the so-called charismatic move and all that. I said, they saw the power of God. I mean, they saw miracles. They saw God move. You know, when they got born again, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, and they said, but, you know, God kept telling them, and still telling them, that was a drop in the bucket compared to what is going to be seen. And that, you know, this time is very significant. Then I remembered what I said at the beginning of the year. It's exactly 50 years from the time natural Israel occupied the Temple Mount. And so, first the natural and after all the spiritual. So 50 years later, which represents the Jubilee, the church will now occupy the spiritual mount, which is symbolic of the Feast of Tabernacles as recorded in Isaiah chapter 2, where it says that the mountain of the Lord's house, you know, shall be occupied, and then all the nations will flow into it, because it's the Feast of Ingathering. And so I said, wow, this is good. And that wasn't enough. And then the next program was Ken Jr. That's Kenneth Hagin's son. You know, so I said, well, let me just. He said exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. In fact, his own title was the Glorious Church. And I'm just summarizing. He said that he's tired of just... He said the church doesn't seem to know where she's going. Now, so many people just come to church and, you know, and just get blessed. And I'm one for blessing. I believe in prosperity. He said, but that's not where we're going. and that we must have a glorious church. And he quoted the scripture which I have quoted. His father used to quote this very often, Papa Hagen, you know, and I quoted it. I've quoted it in recent times. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but by demonstration. Demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, so that your faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I am, and I speak up for myself now, I, by the grace of God, Olubi Johnson, I am what I am today because I saw the raw power of God. It wasn't intellectual argument or anything. I got born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. I spoke in Aramaic. I've seen miracles. I've been healed. I've seen tangible miracles. You know one thing about this generation, Pastor G? They haven't seen the power of God. I don't take God seriously. May I take God seriously? I've seen God move in all kinds of ways. Hallelujah. You know, it's not based in the wisdom of men or some intellectual argument. The power of God. And nothing short of the tangible, consistent manifestation of the power of God is going to get the job done. And he said this, Kenneth Hagin Jr., you know, it's very funny to call him Jr. He's 80 years old. Can you believe? Yeah, him and Kenneth Copeland are the same age. Kenneth Copeland was born in 1937, so he was 80 this year. Kenneth Copeland still looks, we're looking at Gloria yesterday. If you look at Gloria Copeland, she looks like a 50-year-old woman. But she's 70. I think Ken Copeland is 1 or 2 years older than her. She's probably 78 or something. Ken Copeland is 80. He looks, his hair is still black. He's not white. You know, he's still as tough as he used to be. And, you know, and Ken Jr., you know, he looks a little bit older, but, you know, he's, they call him Jr. But that's what we used to call him back in those days when his dad was still alive. You know, when I went to America in the 1980s, which is about 40 years ago, he was in his 30s. But now he's in his 50s. Sorry, he's in his 80s, excuse me. You know, he's hitting 80 this year. You know, and I was really blessed. I said, wow, Lord, thank you for helping me to see this. I said, these are my people. Praise the Lord. Amen. The same Holy Ghost. He said, I'm coming back for a glorious church. He said, not quoting all those scriptures, not having spot. Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim quoted that same scripture, Ephesians 5. And then Ken Hagin came up, Ken Hagin Jr., and he quoted that same scripture. And he said that, you know, we have to now use the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, just like, you know, what we're saying, you know, to clean out the spots, the blemishes, and the wrinkles, you know, so because God is coming. He's not coming back for a weak church, He's not coming back for a defeated church. He's coming back for a glorious church. And he said this, and I'll stop with this. He said that that glorious church is going to disciple the nations. I'm going to bring in the harvest of the nations. So only a glorious church can do it. You know, we can't. Intellectual talking and, you know, what we're doing now is not going to get it done. It says, when the church becomes a glorious church, then every member of that glorious church, sadly, you know, it's not going to be everybody. God wants it to be everybody, but it won't be everybody. Not because God doesn't want it to be everybody, but just because everybody will not fulfill the conditions. Very sadly, but that's just the reality on ground. You know, and he said that, you know, just the normal people in the church. You know, he said that what we do here behind the pulpit is a very small part of the big job. The main job is done in the offices and in the... So the Christian that is on the job is going to be doing miracles. He's going to be doing the great things. And that way now, God will be able to reach the whole world. Because the body is many members. He quoted that other scripture. The works that I did shall you do, and greater works. Yeah. And he said, if you're in the spirit, there's an urgency of the now. In other words, we are in the season, the time, where this thing's about to break forth. day of Pentecost, there is a word there that I want to leave with us. Pastor Dewey is going to minister to us in a minute. And that word is the word suddenly. What is going to characterize the beginning of this move will be sudden. Yeah, that's why, you know, we're preaching all this. Get ready. Because it's going to be sudden. It's going to be sudden. When, on the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered together, you know, praying what they had been doing for 10 days, you know, then suddenly, the power of God came. And then from then on, it continued on the momentum of that sudden impulse. Hallelujah. When Jesus was at the feast of Cana in Galilee, it was like any other day. He wasn't even thinking of miracles or anything like that. He wasn't thinking of he was expecting it, but he said he wasn't expecting at their wedding. He wasn't expecting at the wedding. You know, and then his mommy came and they asked for wine, and then suddenly. That's how it's going to be now. It's going to be suddenly. But if you're ready, when it suddenly happens, you just flow with it. And so, the essence of these teachings that we're having now is to inspire us and get us ready. So that when this suddenly happens, we'll be able to flow with it. Praise the Lord. And we won't be caught napping, so to speak. It will not come to us, you know, like a thief in the night. Because I tell you, I myself, who have been preaching this thing for so many years, and many of these other great men of God, none of us, we have an idea, but none of us really knows the extent of what is going to come. If I can read what I see in the Acts of the Apostles, a fire came from heaven and sat on each of them, and they began to speak in tongues. The first day, 3,000 people were got born again. A few days later, 5,000. You know, and we see all of that, you know, and they are now telling us that the glory of the latter house. It's going to be far greater than that. And it means that something, like Pastor Guega said the other day, I was preaching, and Pastor Guega was caught it out of my mouth, a tidal wave. We got born again on the ripples of Pentecost. All we felt was just a ripple. But now a tidal wave is coming. Something that has never been seen before. Only God knows. I don't know. Only God. I have an idea. But don't anything we could ever begin to think or imagine. Hence the scripture. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has it entered the things God has prepared for them that love Him. So get ready, folks. The key now is to be ready. Those witnesses really comforted and strengthened me. You know, I said, God, we're all saying the same thing. Same scriptures. Same scriptures. They're picking it. And there's this expectancy that is inside the air. And I think 2017 is such a significance. Exactly 50 years from the last Jubilee. Where God, there was the first 1948, then there was 67. 67 was so important because for the first time, Israel was able to take back that same place where the Temple Mount is. Now came under Israeli control. And the Bible says in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be on the top of the mountain. Talking about the spiritual. Where we're in for something. Praise the Lord. So let's get ourselves ready. Let's listen. These are not cunningly devised fables. You know, get us so that we will not be caught unawares. When this thing comes, it will be of such magnanimous proportions that will be far beyond what any human being has ever thought of or seen. And by the grace and the mercy of God, we will be participants and not spectators. And we will be part of what is going on and not casualties. Because folks, what's coming? Hey! If you read Malachi, said, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly. That's that suddenly again. Suddenly come to his temple. And he said, who shall stand? It's a terrible when he appeareth. Who shall endure the day of his coming? It doesn't mean nobody will. It's just saying that the people who are ready, who are prepared, that we stand. So when it comes, you'll be standing. It says, watch therefore and pray always. I mean, we can do so you can stand when he appears. It is going to be wonderful. It's going to be glorious, and it can be any day now. We are right where you see, we just left Passover. We're now in between Passover and Pentecost. And then further down this year, we're going to have tabernacles. We're in the season. And any day now. So let's get ready. So Pastor Jerry, come and share a few things with us. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's bow down to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your mercies upon us. As we gather here under the covering of said spiritual fathers, I humble myself under your mighty hand. As I come to share your word you have given unto me, I ask for mercy. For it is required in the steward that a man be found faithful. Help me, Lord, to speak today as an oracle of God. Help me to bring out of treasure what things new and old as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask for grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are necessary. As I speak, Lord, let the word go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, to do an internal and eternal work in the hearts of all men that hear this message in the name of Jesus. Father, but Lord, as your word goes forth, will cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlightened by revelation of Christ's life, and our emotions to further controlled by the power of the Spirit. I will come to thank you for that which you will do in our ministry. We give you all the praise, we give you all the glory, all the honor and the adoration in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The title of my message is Receiving a Full Reward, which Pastor has shared about many times from the book of 2 John. Let's put our Bibles to the book of 2 John chapter 1 verse 8. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pastor has shared over and over from this scripture at different points in time with us. And I'll read. Let's read together. Look to yourselves. Look to yourselves that will lose not those things which you have wrought, but that will receive what? A full reward. See, John was talking to his children. Like I said, our pastor has been sharing some of these things with us. John was saying, look to yourself, at least individually check yourselves out. So we don't lose the things that we have wrought, that we may receive by a full reward. And the pastor has said over the years, said if there's a full reward, there is no reward, and there's going to be a half reward or a quarter reward. But God wants us to have what? A full reward. Say, God wants us to have a full reward. Let's look at it in the Amplified Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What does it say? Look to yourselves, take care. Let's read God. Look to yourselves, take care that you may not lose, throw away, or destroy all that we and you have what? Labored for. But that you what? May persevere until you win and receive back a perfect reward in full. Say, look to yourselves. Say, take care or take heed to yourselves. That what I will not lose what we have labored for. You know, Paul labored for his own church. John here said, look to yourselves. You know, that all this I've been teaching you all these years, it has an end. That end is that you may receive a full reward. Because that means that if you don't receive a full reward, John would not have been happy. All he labored for was that they should get a full reward. The Bible says that we will see the travail of his soul and he will be satisfied. Now, what is the full reward? Let me put it this way. God, what is God's full reward? So we know what we are actually talking about. We're not talking about reward in terms of material and financial prosperity alone. That is part of it. But what is God's full reward? It is the fullness of a spirit without measure. Let's just get it. It is the fullness of a spirit without measure. The pastor has been sharing it over and over. Let's have our Bibles to just put some scriptures behind it for those that may not know. John chapter 3 verse 34. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What does it say? For he whom God has sent, let's together. For he whom God has sent, speaketh not the words of God. For what? God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Talking about Lord Jesus Christ. God did not give the Spirit by measure unto Lord Jesus Christ. He gave him the fullness of a Spirit without measure. We know that story at when I was baptized and he came out of the River Jordan. That is what we are expecting. That is the full reward. Pentecost is just an earnest to prepare us to receive that full reward. The Bible says that this full reward is our inheritance. You see, the same way in the natural that you try and contest for your inheritance in the family, is the same way God wants to put everything you have, spiritually speaking, to make sure that you get that inheritance. It is your birthright. How be it, it is going to be given to you as a reward, not a gift. You have to work for this one. We still work for it. Let's put another scripture behind this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Amplified. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Let's read together. In him, you also have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in that in and at the earth to and relied on him. We're stamped with what? The seal of a long promised Holy Spirit. That is the seal. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's go. That Spirit is the guarantee of our what? Inheritance. The first fruits. Let's say first fruits. The pledge and foretaste. The down payment on our heritage. In anticipation. Let's say in anticipation of its full redemption. And acquiring complete what? Possession of it to the praise of his glory. The Bible talks about the redemption of our body. We are anticipating. It says that the full possession of it. We don't just want this measure we have. God wants to give us the fullness of a Spirit without measure. That will come a time you'll find saints on earth, perfect saints, that the same Spirit will descend upon them like a dove. And they will do exactly what Lord Jesus Christ did. Praise the Lord. One more scripture before we move on. Colossians chapter 3 verse 24 in Amplified. Colossians chapter 3 verse 24. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What does it say? Knowing, God wants us to know, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord. Let's do it together. That it is from the Lord, not from men, that you will receive what? The inheritance, which is what? Your real reward. The one whom you are actually serving is the Lord Christ, the Messiah. Yeah, the scripture is saying that the real reward that God has promised us is not going to come from man. It's going to come from God. And that reward, like you said earlier on, is the fullness of a Spirit that measures our inheritance. You see, this story reminds me, just to touch it and move on, of the man called Gehazi. The reward that God wanted to give Gehazi under Elisha was a double portion of Elisha's anointing. But he missed it in that he settled for a reward. Because in those days when you go and see a prophet, you carry a reward with you. You are focused. You see, God wants us to focus on this real reward that comes from God. You see, that was God. Why God put Gehazi under Elisha. Just say he put Elisha under Elijah. You see, Elisha was not looking for the natural reward, even though he was rewarded in serving Elijah. But he kept on following him. The reason why he kept on following was because he said, look, I want double of what you have. Praise the Lord. So it is this real reward that we are waiting on God for. And we have come to that time and the season in which God has promised us that we are expecting the manifestation of a Spirit without measure. The pastor has said that has been poured out already. We are expecting a manifestation of that Spirit that has been poured out upon the said spiritual fathers they are raised up. And then from then God now put the borrowed one of that Spirit that measure on different people depending on the scope of or your capacity as a Christian under them. Praise the Lord. Now it's a very short message. Why are we talking about this reward? Why is it important for us to get ready like Pastor was sharing? The first point I put down is that the Lord is coming suddenly to his temple. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. It's going to come suddenly. It's not something that you're going to be, so to speak, aware of. It could be no 4-1. You're not going to know that. Okay, so it's not. It could be on a Tuesday. It could be on a Wednesday. It could be on Sunday, even 3 hours after, it could be. But you see, God would have given everybody opportunity to be present. Are you following me? So you see, God is coming to his temple suddenly, and is going to reward those that what serve him. Those that are ready and those that serve him. You see, in book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, it says something. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. You can put it on the board. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. You see, that work we are talking about is not physical works. Because if it's physical works, then there are going to be people that qualify. Martha would have qualified if we look at the situation between Martha, Mary and Martha. Are you following me? So let's look at the scripture to put scripture behind it. Malachi chapter 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Is coming suddenly to step temple to reward those that serve him. Are we there? Malachi 3 verses 14, we start reading. See, here is a condition that we, most of us, are going through right now. You know, we're wondering, God, what is going on in the church, for God's sake? You find wicked people are prospering. You find people, you know, those that walk iniquity. They seem to be set up. Thank you very much. And you are wondering, God, what is going on? But here, this word says, we have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Praying, fasting, growing, we know you bring year in, year out. When I was preparing this message, God told me that I was going to pick up Pastor's Big Drama. I went back to pick it on the work of faith with power. I said, God, 2009. Pastor preached this thing in 2009. I looked, I said, 2009. I said, yes. Can you imagine from that time till this time? And it's still a current word. That God could beat me and say, go and pick that message. So I went back, I downloaded it, and started reading again to prepare for the message. What are we saying? Back to this. He said, next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And now, we call the proud happy. Yea, they that walk what? Wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Wickedness is the same as iniquity. Next verse. Then, they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord what? Hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and are taught upon his name, his character. God set the book of remembrance before him to look upon those that thought upon his name, meditate upon his character, which is love. And that now leads us to the next verse. Praise the Lord. And they shall all be mine, those that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his son that serveth him. Next verse. Then shall you return. You see, that means they've been led astray. Hosea chapter 6 says, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn and he will bind us up. So after 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up. You see, this wickedness going on in the church has led even many people astray. So God is saying here that he said, then shall you return. When something happens, when he makes up his jewels, then manifestation. That means, you see, before then, people will not return. Yes. You can preach this message on perfection from now till tomorrow, people will still not return. Yes. Majority of the church have gone into idolatry. Yes. They have followed Aaron. Yes. You see, but when something happens and there's a manifestation, suddenly, what will happen? People will return. Like it says in the book of Isaiah, he said, they will gather unto you. It says, then we say, return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between that serveth God and him that serveth him not. But before them, people will not return. But when that manifestation we're talking about, when God pours out that spirit, the reward, when it's given to people, you know, then people will not return. They now begin to discern between what? The righteous and the wicked. Him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Praise the Lord. It is a time of distinction. It is a time of distinction in the church. I put it down here, who is a righteous person? A righteous person is born again. But in the context of which I'm talking today, I wrote it down this way. I said, who is a righteous man in this context we're talking about? Because he talks about, he said, I will spare them as a man spared his own son. So talking about sonship here. He says, who is a righteous man in this context? Is a Christian or a son who uses his right standing with God or in Christ to practice right doing by perfecting the love of God in his life using the blood, the word, and the spirit. In this context, I follow him. So perhaps you go to the righteous and the wicked. Who is the wicked person? Someone that casts instructions behind him. Psalm 50 verses 16 to 17. We don't need to turn there. Whoever casts this instruction of love of God behind him, what the Bible calls him, a wicked person. Well, let me put it this way. Someone that does not perfect the love of God in his life. Who has not made that his priority to become like God. Because God is love. I'll show you a scripture that God showed me to try and explain this to you. You now understand the importance of washing your feet. Matthew chapter 18, we read from verse 32. Talking about that wicked servant. Unforgiveness is wickedness. You see, there are two levels of unforgiveness. Let me explain. Pastor mentioned it. It was in the weekly man that he explained it further. I can remember very clearly. He said, you see, when somebody does something wrong to you, you forgive him. But see, what about when you see somebody do something wrong that does not concern you? You have to forgive. If you don't forgive, you make them, you are still not forgiving. But whosoever sins will remit, they are remitted. So it's not, see, but I've seen a sin not on the earth, it's your ask for life. So look at what these wicked servants, so we can know the discern between the righteous and the wicked. The wicked is not someone that just brings bear. It's a Christian that does not perfect love of God or wash feet. It's that simple. Matthew 18 verse 32, what does it say? Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all that debt because thou desirest. Now, next verse. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion? He did not walk in love on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. So what makes you a wicked person in this day is not whether you do something. Where basically, when you don't obey instructions, what are those instructions that pastor has given? Washing of your father, I confess our sins, just will have life and pray in tongues. What made him a wicked son? Because he walked in what? Unforgiveness. He not used the blood, the word, and the spirit to wash that person's feet, so to speak, in the context we are talking about. So that is what made him a wicked person. And I said, he that served God and he that served him. How do we serve God? Service in the house of God is not running elder scale, even though that is part of it. You serve God by your spirit. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Paul was saying, he said, I thank my God, put it on the board. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. That service in the house of God. That's how you serve God. That's how Jesus Christ told Mary. He said, that matter, that which Mary has chosen, nobody can take it away from her. Like Papa said some years ago, if it is taken from you, that means it is not needful. What you must make sure is not taken away from you is that service of God with your spirit. It must not be taken from you. Every other thing can be taken. It's called kumbab with much serving. That must not be taken from you. Praise the Lord. So we serve God with our spirit. The other way, you see, when you say you serve God, you pray. The other way in which you serve God is the Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians 5, verse 13. What does it say? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. So, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but do what? By love, serve one another. So, when you wake up in the morning and you begin to pray, you are preparing the love meal for that day. When you now go out, you are carrying that love meal. When people are hungry, now begin to minister love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. You begin to serve them. Amen. What you and God have prepared in the place of prayer. So you serve God with your spirit, and then you also serve God by serving one another love. Amen. That is why Paul said, oh, no man nothing except to love him. Paul said, I'm a debtor. He wasn't owing people money. Debtor to love them. What I owe you, what you owe me is to walk in love. Towards me. I towards you. Romans chapter 13 verse 8. Put amplified. No, sorry, in NIV. Romans chapter 13 verse 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord. Let no death remain outstanding except the continuing death to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the love. That is a debt you have to keep on paying. That is it. Continuing. You have to keep on paying it. When you do something wrong, I must walk in love. Wash your feet, ask for life, and move on. You see, before Jesus Christ, every day, when I was preparing, God said, make sure before you go to bed every night, tidy up your account of love. Every day. God said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Balance your account before you go to bed. Don't go to bed in debt. Balance. You see, I just preach a bit. You see, Jesus Christ on the cross, when he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. He was balancing his account. For they know not what they do. He was balancing it. Because if he did not balance that account, he wouldn't have resurrected on the third day. You see, there was a day, I can always remember, I was driving, I was harboring unforgiveness about 5 years ago. And I was driving, I can remember, driving towards Bovas, and I was shocked here. And Lord spoke to me. He said that, if I did not forgive those that killed my limbs, of course, he wouldn't have been raised up on the third day. I looked back like someone, I said, Then now started talking about unforgiveness, what they can do. Then narrated the story of that same wicked servant to me. He said, I hand him out to tormentors. That is Satan. It's not religion, no. He would not have been raised from the dead. The accuser would have stood against him and said, yes, he died in unforgiveness. So when he was on that cross, or when you are on your cross, which when you are dying daily to self, and they offer you God, don't take it. Because it's bitterness. Let any root of bitterness springing up defile my name. The next thing I'm going to offer you is they're going to take a reed. Those are Christians. They offer you vinegar. That is sour wine. This reverence of the love of God that is so sweet in your mouth. A reed will come and when it begins to taunt you with it, they will offer you that sour wine. But you have to take it. That same love, just my endure long, I'm patient, I can't get somewhere. Something happens. You can't just endure. You have to take it from that reed. He was balancing an account. The last thing he did on the cross, you see the book of John chapter 19 verse 34, I believe. You know what he did on the cross? He said a soldier came and he pierced him. John chapter 19 verse 34, I believe it is. We are just preaching to explain, what does he say? But one of the soldiers did what? Pierced his side with spear and immediately walked out blood and water. What are we saying here? There is he that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. How the Bible said, the pastor was preaching on Sunday. He said, when they reviled him, he did not say anything. He said, he committed him to God. He said, don't render railing for railing. So when they pierce you with the sword, with words of their mouth, what will you do? Their blood come out. Father, we forgive our sins. Then the next thing, let what? Water come out. Ask life for them. If any man sees brother sin, the sinner of the dead, he shall ask for life. The master balances his account. Well, every night before you go to bed, make sure you balance your love account. Don't go to bed owing anybody anything. Make sure you pay those debts. Praise the Lord. So, the second point I have is very short message. I'm going to stop very soon. Is the measure of reward we receive. The measure of reward we receive as a bold anointing initially and then later on in fullness is dependent on our work of faith with power to labor in prayer to work in love. So the Bible I was talking about, it said, behold, I come suddenly, and my rewards, I reward every man according to his work. This is not physical work. If it is physical work, then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 13, verses 1 to 4, it says, if I give my body to be born, he said, and I have not love. So it's not physical work. Even though it might manifest in that area, it is spiritual work. Because it takes spiritual work to walk in love. You can't just wake up today and say, I'm going to walk in love, except under covering. Someone has released the power to be able to do it. Or you're not going to be able to do it. That's my experience. When I don't pray enough, I can't walk in love as I ought to. That's it, folks. You need to pray. We need to pray. If you don't pray, you can't walk in love. I always say the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Having fervent charity amongst yourself. You can't have a fervent charity if you don't pray effectually and fervently. So if you pray the understanding alone, you're going to walk in outer court love. You pray in tongues alone, you're going to walk in the holy place, love. When you now travel and enter into holy place, most holy place, where God who is love dwells, on the mercy seat, then you are now beginning to practice the love of God as He Himself walked in love. You see, there are three levels of what we have. Outer court, you just pray, you understand, and you go out that day. And just have life, you know, don't pray in tongues. It's limited, it can't walk for so long. It will walk. We all need everything. The person that goes to the most holy place, practice everything. We do confession, you understand, we pray in tongues, love prayer, then we'll not take and travel it. Are you following me? So the next second point is that, like I mentioned, I said, the measure of reward I will receive as the bold anointing initially, and then later on in its fullness, is dependent on our love work. On our walk of faith with power to labor in prayer, to walk in love. Hence the scripture says, Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He says, I'm coming back and my reward is with me. Hebrews chapter 6, let's together. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Don't only see that as ministering physical things to the brethren alone. As I said, by love, serve one another. Minister to one another. I follow him. So what is he saying here? There's a point here. That means it is unrighteousness to forget somebody's work of love. Because I will not forget. But see, as I said, they said, he opened the book of remembrance before him. I mean, that this in the season that God is there, that book is set before him. And it will be unrighteous for him to forget our work and labor of love. It is that work of faith with power that produces the labor of love. You have to labor in the place of prayer to walk in love. That kind of love that you can't go to the cross like he did if you did not pray. It took Jesus Christ 3 solid hours to go to the cross. Amen. Peter could not. He told him, he said, my pastor was preaching on faith yesterday. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. For Peter's faith to have failed, his love must have failed. Because the Bible says love never fails. And what? Faith always works by love. So for you to enter into what we are talking about, you see, or what I was saying, God is coming back to reward our work and labor of love. You see, if as a newly born again Christian under covering, you may not be able to do all these things. But as time goes on, you need to begin to do that work of faith with power, exercising yourself. Because that's what God will now look at when you now walk in love. You see, you can do something outwardly, and people say, he walked in love, but they slapped him, he didn't talk. No, if your boss you slap you and you have another job, you keep quiet. Outwardly you have walked in love, but inside you are complaining. You have not walked in love because if I say anything, they will sack me. I don't have any job. Let me just keep quiet. Yes, sir. Ogbamara. Any unbeliever can do that. But when somebody is junior to you, like God's own creation, slapped him. A pastor was preaching, slap him. He will look at them. You slap the ancient of days. How old are you? Who are you? But you see, because he had prayed and exercised that work of faith with power, he was able to walk in love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. Let's just put a scripture behind before we move on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Please help me. Remembering, without ceasing, what? Your work of faith and your what? Labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Blah, 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 blah. So it's the work of faith and the labor of love. So that work of faith is to be directed for you to your to walk in love for every day. Praise the Lord. Now what are we saying? See, the measure of our growth in love will determine the scope of a spirit without measure that we carry. You see, God has so tied that thing to our love work. Like pastor said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those that love Him. It's all about love. We are all going to do the same exam. You see, God is not going to allow anybody to do alternative to practicals. You see, in those days, we have our chemistry. We want to do alternative particles. If you ask anybody in scripture, pastor, what is love? You define it, designing, it's the power to do. Brrr. That is alternative particles. You good to know it. You see, you can't compare someone that goes into the laboratory and begins to, I forget, when you begin to titrate, you put material red. You know, like just one drop can make you miss the result. But if you see the guy outside there, maybe because they don't have the equipment in their school. to do alternative to practicals. All he needs to do is know how to calculate. He will come out with an A. Then you that maybe you have not perfected your act of titration. With one drop, you miss the whole results. But what am I saying? God has his equipment, you and I. This is God's laboratory. So you see, it's not going to allow anybody to do any alternative to practicals. We are going to actually walk in love. The Bible says, he was tempted in every way, like as we are, yet without sin. So those same temptations will come in at different times. And the summary of that temptation is to try and help you to perfect that love work. You see, Joseph could not be saved with his coat of many colors. What got him to his destiny ultimately was his love work. Because they have stripped him of it. Same thing with David. His second and third anointing, he had to walk in love. He had to walk love towards Saul, towards the sons of Zeruiah. The initial anointing came to the prophet, just preached on his head, bass. But what are we talking about? The earnest. This one is a reward. And that reward will give those that perfect the love of God in their life. So the scope, like I said, like Pastor Stotter, is going to be dependent on the scope. What is that scope? The baby to literature, like Pastor Stotter, are you following me? They will do instant internal miracles, like they will cure headaches. Baby to little child. Then young men to a fever, like Peter's mother. Jesus Christ did everything, but you can see how under him. Then the next stage is, this next scope is young little children to young men. Those who will do instant external miracles that you can see, like the growing of limbs, you know, cleansing of lepers, somebody can see. But you see, the height of it is what we say in the master, instant raising of the dead. Of which the height is raising the dead in 4 days. So you can see this, see that scope is dependent on your growth in love. Are you following me? So baby little child, they will pray for headaches and all that, you know, that you can't see, just pray, it will go instantly. You see, the key word they have with the spirit of measure is instant. There's no delay. That's the key word we need to hold on to. So the next stage is those that will do the young men. They begin to heal, cleanse lepers, you know, blind eyes open that people can see instantly. Then you see now young men to fathers, they raise the dead instantly, like Jesus Christ, the widow at Nain. He didn't go and pray. He just raised that voice, get up from your bed. So that is the scope. It's dependent on the scope. And we see the progression or the roadmap in Ephesians chapter 16. Ephesians chapter 3, sorry, there's no Ephesians chapter 16. Ephesians 3, verse 16. Let's put it on the board. Pastor has taught us from this scripture that he will grant you, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, what? To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That leads to the next verse. Let's read. That what? Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. You see, you need to be strengthened in the inner man for Christ to dwell in your heart by faith. That's the next stage. That's the roadmap. Ye being rooted and grounded in love. Next verse. May be able to comprehend that love we are talking about with all saints. Are you following me? What with all saints? What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of what the love, and to know what the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That is the end of where we are going to. But see, you have to be strengthened with might by spirit in the man, in a man, that Christ will dwell in your heart by faith. Then next thing, you'll be rooted and guarded in love. When you are not rooted and guarded, you not comprehend, you know, with the Baptist, with the scripture pastor, with the carnal Christian, with the one that doesn't be, you know, all kinds of people in the body of Christ. You cannot comprehend. When you not comprehend, you cannot relate to them at their level. Amen. You know, the way Jesus Christ related to what's this guy's name? Nicodemus was different from the way he related to the woman at the well of Samaria. Because he could comprehend. He spoke to Nicodemus and said, "Art thou a master in Israel? I don't know this." Oh, Lodo. But see, the other woman, because he could relate. That is, that's what the thing that Paul says. Said, by reason of time, you ought to be a teacher. He could relate to different churches that were under him. So I wanted to talk about your canal. But he didn't talk to the Ephesian church or the Hebrew, letter to the Hebrews. He didn't talk to them like that. Why? Because he could comprehend at different stages. So when you are rooted and grounded, you would comprehend the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ, that personally, that you may be the end point of all that comprehension, is that God will now fill you with the fullness of God. the spirit that I measure. That is the roadmap. Praise the Lord. So, as we've seen, I mentioned, now, how are we going to attain unto this? Now that God is coming suddenly to his temple, and is going to say his word is with him, and he will give him according to his work. And we said that our work is not physical works, it's spiritual works. We are going to get to do this by what? By doing the first works. Pastor has taught us in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, talking to the Ephesian church. He said, you have left your first love. He said, repent and do the first works. You see, the Ephesian church, they left their first love. They did not do the first works. They were not going about doing what Martha was doing. Doing physical exercises, you know, let's go on evangelism without prayer. All those that people, let's go on, you know, what humanism, what people do, let's give to the poor, let's do this one. So, you know, because that one is easier to do. Said, repent and do the first works. I say it again, that Jesus Christ told Mary and Martha, he said, that which is needful, Mary has chosen it. He said, no man can take it from her. If it is taken from you, it is not needful. What must not be taken from you is that work of faith with power. Do you know Jesus Christ? If you come to Jesus Christ, he wants to say, I'm coming. I need to go and pray. You'll go and hide somewhere and pray. Don't let it be taken from you. So what are we saying? The exercise of the work of faith with power to walk in love. The work of faith with power involves spiritual work. I will not direct that power released to walk in love. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11 explains it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11. Is it on the board? Wherefore also we pray always for you that what? Our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and what? The work of faith with power. Let's look at it. The work of faith with power. The work of faith with power. You see, when we talk about the work of power, somebody say, show me your works and I'll show you my faith. You see, it's two-sided. The corresponding aspect in which you can act out your faith. But there's this spiritual work of faith with power that involves prayer, drawing of life, praying in tongues, binding the devil. Whereas that faith will not work. I say, faith without works is dead. Say, faith without works. So those works are two. This is the primary one we're talking about. That forms the foundation for the other one that God cannot say, okay, stretch forth that hand, you know, and then something happens. What are we saying? So, like Pastor shared with us on Sunday, you see, for you to exercise the work of faith power, just in summary, because you taught us very well on Sunday, you need to begin to see something. What do you see in context of what we're talking about? You begin to meditate on that love. 1 Corinthians 13, which you've been taught. So when you begin to see what you ought to become, and endure long and patient and kind, you are not it yet. Are you following me? So you begin to, when you look at something, you are seeing with the eyes of understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. Then I begin to say it. I endure long. I'm patient and kind. Because why? It's coming to reward. That reward you get, always remember, will based on your love work, your capacity. In terms of how you have grown in love. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. What God has prepared for those that love him. So, are you following me? So, that's what he says, that, you know, we now begin to confess with our mouth. Those love confessions we're supposed to do. That small book is an example. Then we also begin to pray in the spirit. Building up yourself in the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Then you tongue, you travel it. There are some levels of love you'll never be able to walk through if you don't pray with travel. Go and write it down. Amen. There are some things you'll never be able, when the thing hits you, you don't know what hits you. You will not understand at all. If there was a long time ago, this example, God was talking about this thing. He said that, he gave an example. The guy is no more in church now. He used to be a fat guy. I was somewhere there. And God was trying to tell me that, is your prayer life as affecting your love work? And I mean, he now told me about praying and travel. In the natural, when you want to sew a trouser for a regular guy, you buy a material, you call it 1 1/4, right? That was a regular person. That's the measurement of a year. That's what you buy. So God now said, if you buy that 1 1/4, can you sew a trouser for that fat guy? I said, no. Why? Because it's too small. You can't cover. Because you love covering the body of sins. So when you buy a material that is too small, you can't cover. That was the problem of Noah's child. It could not cover. So it is travail that will enable you to get enough material So can cover. Love covereth a multitude of sins. So it is travail that will get able to cover. Not because you don't want to help that brother. You don't want him to walk naked that day. But material auto. So you take the blood, the word, and the spirit. Then you travail. So in the day you see this guy, he has done something that it is beyond your comprehension. But because you have enough material to travail, you can wash his feet. Ask life for him. And then pray in tongues. Are you following me? So you see, that's why I said there are three levels of love. The outer court, holy place, the most holy place is where we're going to. The perfection of love of God, where God himself dwells. So we pray it. And then as we pray, like Pastor said, we now begin to offer God thanksgiving. When those temptations and trials come, you say, Father, I thank you. You may be saying, oh, roll inside. Yay. But I thank you. God bless you. I say, show it on. Then the person will say, yeah. You know why? But that Jesus Christ on the cross was dead. So when they pierced him, if he wasn't dead, he would have been shaking like, yeah. He was dead. You see, that's what happens when you pray in the morning. The pastor said, you fill that body with anesthesia. You can't feel pain. You see, if you go to a doctor now or a dentist and want to remove your tooth or your wisdom, whatever, they have put anesthetic there. They will put that thing there so that when they begin to pull it out, you can even be watching CNN in the place. You'll be smiling. But if, should in case they didn't put enough, you are in trouble that day. Ache and pain. So you see, when you pray in the morning, that's what you are doing. You are putting that life of God, the anesthesia, in that body. Anesthetic, sorry, sir. So when you put enough, it must be enough. So you don't feel pain again. Dead men don't feel pain. So you die daily. When you go out that day, you are a dead man. Death walketh in you and life in them. Thank you, sir. So that day you are dead. Somebody comes and says something. You are just, God bless you. I'm very grateful, sir. They pierce you with them out. Blood and water will come out. Instantly. But if you are not dead on that cross, you carry that money. Maybe you carry the cross, but you didn't carry it well. Maybe you slept half of the time. When you are denying yourself, say that you carry his cross daily and you didn't do it properly, you can endure some. But when you start getting to midday, afternoon, and things start happening in your circumstances that you can't handle, like Pastor said, as they refer you to, you just give it back to them. I've done it many times. I'm just going, just sitting there. You say, girl, I'm not going to, yeah. And I'm saying, but, I say, God, wait. It's back to sender. You have, Amy, you want to do this? You have done all kinds of things. You see, but let's be encouraged. That's why covering is there. That's why it just man falls 7 times. And it rises again. So you go back. But I'm telling you, the way to get it done is to make sure that you kill that flesh every day, which is in the perfecting love of God. Praise the Lord. So, in closing, after Thanksgiving, when those things begin to happen, Thanksgiving will automatically come out of you. It will automatically come out of you. It will just come because you already know, but you know where the devil is coming from. You just smile. No problem. It is where God is in control. I thank you, Ashe. Thank you. God is in control. You just smile. You're not forcing yourself to say, just thank you. Bible says, measure the temple. You see, he said, he gave me a reed like unto a rod. He said, measure the temple. The day that was is the revelations. God wants to measure you by a reed. So go to take that reed that he used to give you that sour vinegar. He's going to measure every day. I'm a reed to somebody. There are reeds that also reeds to me that God has sent. So he's going to take that reed. Revelations, please, on the body. Say, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and do what? Measure the temple of God. You and I are the temple of God. God wants to measure you. And he what? Alter your prayer life that generates the love of God. And them that worship therein. Next verse. But the court that is without, those that just pray in the love prayer and the understanding, the outer court, measure it not. You will die. God will not allow them to tender about what they are able to bear. They can't handle it. This kind of love we are talking about. They can't handle it. So God just leave them. That they cannot have Christians. Yeah. The Bible says that. It says that let every man take it how he build. He said if man build and his work stand, he shall receive a reward. He said, but if his work will not stand like this, he said, He shall suffer loss. No reward. No, they will be saved. So as by fire. So just measure the temple. It's going to come and measure you. The length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ that passeth all understanding. What does that tell you? Just Christ, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's going to measure the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ. That same love that took him to the cross is supposed to take you to the cross every morning when you pray, so you can walk in love as he walked in love. Tempted in every like as we are, yet without sin. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, and we close. He's going to measure that temple before he gives us the reward. That's it. Be therefore, okay. And walk in what? Love, as Christ also has walked, as loved us, and has given himself for us an offering. The standard is not man. It's Jesus Christ. So you can't use the man today to say, okay, I've tried today. I've done this. No, it is good. But see, the measure is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, we don't get that immediately. We start under covering. Follow me as I follow Christ. But as time goes on, it begins to measure you. So your patience is this level now. It's going to stretch it. It will take you out of your comfort zone. Like it did for Joseph. Then took him out to Potiphar's house. Then he stretched him a bit. Covering was still operating. Are you following me? Because of what he had learned. But this time he now had to begin to use the tools. Like I said earlier on, there's no authority to particles. We are going to do the particles ourselves. Praise the Lord. Thank you.